Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays. You're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like? Because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora. He's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/Count the Dings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre. They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got into trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
Okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
I like doing this. This is it's nice, man. It was nice to like take that trip throughout the year and think of all the great performances and
stuff. Oh wait, are we just doing this year?
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's the whole point. This bingo.
I did all time.
No wonder you were taking so long.
I did all time.
Yes, Zach. The idea was that it's the end of 2023. Oh. This episode comes out on November 13th. We've also got CT5s coming out on November 27th and on December 11th. And so the idea was, let's take a little jog back through the year that was by going through our favorite awards, the CT5 awards.
Okay.
That was the plan.
The funny thing was, I was going to confirm it. Then I was like, oh, they're going to shit on me. Oh, you never pay attention.
All I heard was ass off. I stopped listening after that. Mm. And I was like, okay.
The whole point was these next few CT5s throughout the end of the year are all going to be year in review stuff.
No, this is doable. I can do this on the fly.
You're working on it?
Yeah. Roscoe's out. Carl Weathers out. Cage out.
Also, like, that was the other thing, because I thought about it. I said, if we did all time, what would happen is we'd all have, like, I mean, there's some names that would just be universal. So it's like, this way, I feel like despite having a smaller sample size, you got more of a chance of having, like, unique lists.
Yeah. Well, now my list is horizontal, which I don't love, but that's fine.
Man, those analog notes really taking a beating right now, huh?
Like a vertical list. Well, actually, you know what? We're going to turn the page.
Wow.
We're turning the page on a new...
We'll do it live! Fuck it!
This idea is just straight up bad. That algorithm is busted. It's among the worst ideas I've ever heard. Top five, easily.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Welcome to another rousing edition of Self-Absorption.
Rousing?
Yeah. Not arousing, just rousing. We're not aroused, we're just roused.
Daylight savings.
Gets dark quick.
It gets dark real quick.
CT5, Cinephobe Top 5. This is the podcast where we go through the canon of Cinephobe history and rank our favorite top five things from a myriad of categories. Past categories have included worst dancers, vehicles, jobs, weapons, names, best 0% movies, worst 0% movies, deaths, worst picks, hats, the Lewis Spinock Accent Awards, unofficial awards, taglines, best songs, Dangerous Nights crew, animals, and twins. But today, we're going to do something a little different. I was waiting for it too. I guess not.
Yeah, you didn't really set him up to let him know that he was going to end. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. It's all my fault.
We'll fix it in post.
What we have today is something a little different, right? Something a little, maybe a little magical. What we're going to do is we're going to take down a trip down memory lane of 2023. The year that was. And we're going to look at our best ass-off performers for the year 2023. Now, we've all compiled our top fives, but because
Have done multiple lists.
Yeah. Some of us don't know how to follow instructions.
Some of us just didn't read.
Or listen. So we got our top fives. We got our two outside looking ins or OLIs. And then we've got some stuff on the cutting room floor that we'll get to later. Let's go, Zach, me, and then Maze for the order.
Yep.
This sounds good to me.
Shortest cutting room floor ever, because guess what, guys? Go listen to every episode from 2023 if you want to hear the OLIs.
Pause this podcast right now. Go download and listen to all the episodes from this year. Get yourself reacquainted.
Welcome back.
That didn't take long at all. Guys, I just have a question as to how you guys did this. In order to be eligible, you have to have actually won ass off, right?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely yeah. Not. I mean, I considered getting a little more in the weeds and picking someone who was a strong contender from a movie but lost or something like that. And then once I compiled my list, I thought, no, these are heavy hitters. There is no need to go deeper than this elite top five plus two OLIs.
Zach. As everyone knows, I do have my notebook, which will be worth a lot of money someday. Money. That actually has two lists.
Did Taffer make your ass off list? I feel like I have to ask this.
No.
Okay.
Taffer did not make my ass off list. OOLI though, for sure.
Okay. In a particular right. episode. Not of Cinepo, but of Bar Rescue.
What is it? The fog?
The black bar in Oakland.
The fog line. The fog line. All right. This is my first OLI.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot what I was going to do here, so I might as well just pick Liam Neeson in memory.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Very clever. That's off. Then the Bucks.
No.
God damn Bucks. Oh my God. He's got that coin and first he's just talking pick, to yeah. his brother who's like all bingoed out or whatever he was. I can't remember what he had Alzheimer's.
Really like the scene when he's in the car and the cop pulls him over.
That's a great scene.
Mumbling That's his ass off. That's a
great scene. Oh my God. What a genius actor. Genius
he
really actor.
Is. He brought that role to life.
Yes,
for sure.
Absolutely. Amin?
My first outside looking in is, or I guess OLI number two, is Marlon Wayans as Loke Dog. As Loke Dog. There you go. I was going to say Ashtray. Ashtray was Sean. Marlon Wayans as Loke Dog and Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. For my list, I went with people that didn't just win ass off, but their performance really stood out. And when I think of that movie, I think of that person. And so for me, Marlon Wayans in that movie, when he slaps Sean and says, stop eating that ice cream like that before I put you out in the corner and make me some money. Like, yep.
Best performance of his whole career?
Yes, easily. Easily.
I don't know.
Easily, easily. There's nothing else.
Requiem for a Dream?
Oh, he's not good in that.
Come on, man. That's a different CT5, sir. Has ass in it. Some might say has ass on it.
I don't know. It's either that or Little Man for me, you know?
Little Man.
Future Cinephobe.
God.
2024 coming up.
All right. My OLI. This movie's dog shit. Okay? It's a real piece of shit. Slick back, real good. It takes place on a boat. There's only one way that this person will be satisfied, and that is if he gets the copper out of his blood. It's Willem Dafoe as John Geiger in Speed 2 Cruise Control.
That's a great pick.
He's on the cutting room floor for me.
Yeah, didn't make my list. Yeah.
Leeches.
Not a lot of logic to it.
I just noticed that I think every one of the guys on my list they're all in movies that I filed.
Shocking.
I didn't even think about that.
No women, huh?
Yeah, we got a couple on the cutting room floor.
Except for Dafoe, same note too. All mine are files as well.
I don't think mine are, but I'm okay with that.
What do you got?
All right, OLI, number one. It's bagels are warm. It's Forrest Whitaker.
That's all I three. Number one? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got a banger of a list, man. I got a banger of a list.
Frank with a C and a K.
Frank.
Why is that? Frank Dotsler.
Frank.
Written for a German, they cast Forrest Whitaker to taste those bagels.
He's got the chess piece for no reason. Yep. That's never
He's
explained.
Got a lot of character development.
The rubber band, like, he steals every scene.
He's a
you know
terrible
how hard
cop.
It has to be for me to not want to give ass off to Liam Neeson in a movie?
For real, man.
Dude, he's killer.
It's quite the performance. Mm-hmm. My first outside looking in, OLI number one, is Marcus Thomas. Zach, do you know who Marcus Thomas is?
Marcus Thomas.
Ring a bell?
No.
No? No? What if I told you Marcus Thomas starred in a little motion picture with Liam Neeson?
Mm.
Another guy who out-acted Liam Neeson. And also Lawrence Fishburne.
What?
Yeah. So here's a guy who was in a movie with Lawrence Fishburne and Liam Neeson, and he out-acted both of them. That still doesn't ring a bell to you, Marcus Thomas?
Marcus Thomas? No. Is there like a way that I like something that would like really like trigger it for me, like some like uh-huh. Like a word that you could repeat or something like this?
Maybe, I don't know. Truck.
Oh,
truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Gertie. Gertie from the Ice Road. He stole the scene from stole the show from the first scene he was on the
Bingo.
No, do that to him.
Don't do that to him. He's a veteran, man. He's fought for this country.
Come on.
His death scene.
We just had Veterans Day.
Might have been the greatest death in cinephobe history. In terms of acting. In terms of performance.
It's not in terms of performance.
I'm not talking about like the death, like the way it was written. I'm talking about the way it was performed.
We need to relax with that. All right. I love this recording, but that's
all right, man.
I didn't even know he was dead.
Come on.
How could it? I didn't find out he was dead until the next scene.
And that's just an OLI for you after all that, after that whole spiel. All
great
right.
spiel. Oh, my God.
My next OLI carried the movie. Without this performance, the movie falls apart. It's getting in touch with a simpler man inside from a different time. That's Brendan Fraser as Linkovich Chomovsky in Encino Man.
Oh, yes.
I'm not a fan.
What?
We're aware. You phobed it.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
No, but you didn't like it because of Pauly Shore.
No, I know.
Link did a great job.
He did a great job, but like not, it wasn't, I don't know. Yeah, you know, that's why we do these lists, right?
So I think it's the display of all of the talent that Brendan Fraser has had in his career right away at an early age. Plus his hair and outfits were insane. There's a lot going on. A
lot going on.
All right, Zach, take us into the top five.
Oh, well, we're not out of the forest yet, gentlemen. Because Forrest Whitaker, Street Kings, number five.
Yeah.
Back-to-back Forrest.
Same note too, bro. I also had Captain Ornery T. Mustache.
Captain Ornery T. Mustache.
As my number five.
That's not his name.
It was his name.
I looked at him for taking three, and then in my head, the first thing I thought of was him talking shit to Hugh Laurie, and I thought,
Oh my God.
That was Street Kings, different movie where he played a cop.
Mm-hmm. So Maze, you have over you had Street Kings. His performance in Street Kings is greater than his performance in Taken Three.
Absolutely.
Well. Yeah. All right. My number five, Zach already mentioned, it's Liam Neeson in Memory.
So good.
The scene where the girl gets shot and the drugs get, like the prescription pill bottle gets crushed under.
Oh, that's right.
And he gets so upset. That and also when he breaks into the guy's house to kill him. And I wanted him to forget why he broke into the house because he just pauses there for a second.
Yeah.
No, that dude, that was a tour de force. By the way, that's a great episode. I don't know if you've gone back and listened to the memory episode.
No, I forgot about it.
I don't remember the movie, and I'm not even doing a thing there about memory, but like I confuse it with Blacklight so much.
Well, one of them he doesn't remember, and the other one.
Right. But it's just like the things that happen.
Well, one of them didn't start the daisy chain. So that should help.
There you go.
Yeah, memory. Didn't start the daisy chain.
It's back to you, by the way, for your number four.
Oh, me? Oh, that's right, because we had the same number five.
I know you forgot.
Number four. I can't believe he's this low. I really can't. Because I am blinded by those blue cones he has in his eyes.
Oh. No.
It's Armand Assofte from Judge Dredd.
Wow.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You betrayed the law!
Kind of sounds like Mike Ryan.
Representative!
My number four. Just because he can't hear you doesn't mean...
Oh.
It's Gene Wilder. See no evil, hear no evil.
Hardest one to keep off my list.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a woman. The scene where him and Pryor are trying to dump the car, mm-hmm. and Pryor says, "What if I yelled really loud in your ear?"
And yes, that did it. Really? No, schmuck.
Oh man, Gene Wilder getting angry is one of the great fucking acting jobs, man.
And don't forget the scene where she's naked coming out of the shower.
Yeah. He hit the gun in his pocket.
He won that shit with his eyes and his boner, man. That is.
And a gulp. He had a gulp.
A gulp? Yeah. Oh my God. That was so hard to keep off my list.
I can't believe Mays phobed that movie.
That's crazy.
And I do it again.
Spiteful, man. Spiteful.
Nope, not a spiteful. Just didn't like it. My number four. She's mostly comes up as an award that we give out from time to time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that it is a performance unworthy of the movie around her. What? It's so much better than the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's Kathy Bates as Mama Boucher from The Waterboy.
Iconic.
I don't up various animals at different times.
I don't love her character in a lot of that movie, although I can recognize it's good. It's just like, it's an annoying movie. It's an annoying character. But that fucking scene behind Lynn Swan, that is, I mean, that is that's one of my favorite moments in cinephobe history. It's just her realizing she's on TV and what it does to her. Cause it is a perfect encapsulation of literally all these bingos at football games, at basketball games, that are behind an announcer and just start doing stuff. It's great.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
My number three, dare I say, the greatest Naomi we've ever had. Alana Ubach, Waiting.
Oh, yeah.
That she is my absolute favorite part of that movie.
Elizabeth Berkley is ineligible because it's Naomi.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Same. Otherwise, she'd have some competition.
Right. She is, like, you know, I've dated plenty of servers. I dated a server during this time that this movie came out. It is spot the fuck on. That is one of the best performances in cinephobe history, not just this year. History. I love her.
She did an incredible job for sure. Number three for me, it's been mentioned, Forrest Whitaker, Taken 3.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And my thing that I, beyond the bagels, the eating of the bagels and the rubber bands and all that stuff.
I mean, it's hard to get past the bagels. But yeah, what's the big deal?
That's a bagel movie.
Because they're warm.
Yeah. Because I know that wasn't in the script. He just said, I'm going to add something to this. I know that, right? But for me, one of the things I really appreciate is how he is simultaneously, like, not doing the investigation, like just giving up, like, well, what are we going to do, guys?
He's a horrible detective.
But he's on the right track the whole time, though.
How?
I don't know.
He's Mr. McGill in his way in there.
By not investigating, and his ability to do that, man.
He solves it by not investigating. It's crazy, and it works.
Should we pursue him? Nah, he's long gone by now.
this guy was in the CIA. We can't catch him. Just nuts. Absolutely nuts.
You know what's funny? Like, I should have put / Maze doing a Forrest Whitaker impersonation.
Oh, his Forrest Whitaker's so good. It's fucking hilarious. So good. Holy shit.
So you've got Taken 3 Forest above Street King's Forest.
Yes, I do, for sure.
In the Forest power ranking.
For sure.
That's tough, man.
I respect taking that stand, but I don't know, man. That's tough.
I don't like Evil Forest, I guess. I can't buy him as evil other than Last King of Scotland, but like
or Battlefield Earth.
No, like I can't buy him as this. Yeah, I can't buy him as evil.
Cyclo. All right, my number three, recency bias supreme.
Oh my god.
That's your number three?
Macho. Wait, did he win?
No more.
Yeah, he won that. Yeah. Jasmine.
That's right, it's Antonio Banderas as Miguel Bane in Ass Offs.
That's
the iconic reaction gift.
We can keep talking about it because that's my number two.
Wow.
Woo! That's my number two. It is, oh my God. He's so fucking good in that movie.
Hey, yeah. Guess what? Keep this thing just moving.
Oh, really? Wow.
Number two.
Wow. Three in a rosies.
Look, as soon as I realized this was the movie where he does this, I was like,
Homie Spumoni.
Yeah, that's got it. That's Homie Spumoni.
You bit that. He's kissing
probably
it.
Probably a deleted scene in caressing it.
Also, there's the other thing. The line from the trailer that doesn't make it. Right? Like when he's talking to the funeral groundskeeper.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, whose grave are you looking for?
Oh, yeah.
He's not dead yet. I'm like, oh, my God. This dude.
Major wow, so we just sprinted right back to me for number two. It's already been mentioned. It's Alana Ubach as Naomi in Waiting. And for me, it's when she goes into character within the movie.
Yeah.
Layers to this shit. When she's outside smoking a cigarette, as angry as you could possibly be, as soon as she steps on the floor, the fucking smiley face comes on. The way she talks.
Talking to the kitchen.
To the lady who wants the dessert.
That
does sound good. Ooh.
You know
God.
That meme that's going around? Like it's this white woman who's looking over her shoulder. Like,
yeah.
That's the energy that she carries. But then she flips on a switch into like total psycho.
Cracks her neck as she walks out onto the floor. Like, oh my God.
That's
rips
off,
Shy McBride's character as a new asshole. It's incredible stuff.
That's good. Or what about you do the fucking dish?
Bishop. Uh-huh. Oh, you're going to help me out? Oh. Shut the fuck up.
All right, Zach. Number one here. Now, I have a feeling that all our number ones are going to be completely different.
I think we're all going to have the same number one.
You think so? I don't think so. What's your number one?
I do. It's funny. Amin does this thing. Like, he's been trying to do this thing where he, like, shoehorns the wolves from A Million Ways to Die in the West. Uh-huh. Not eligible. You know what it is? Yeah. Ed, motherfucker. It's Ed. Didn't win ass off. It was a travesty that he didn't win ass off.
There it is.
Ed is the greatest fucking performance of this goddamn year. Godforsaken daisy chain year. It's Ed.
Do you want to guess what was ass off in Ed?
I think it was.
Was it the coach? Or was it the skipper?
It was Bill Cobbs.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, the assistant coach.
Tibbs?
Yeah.
Tipton.
Tibbs.
I'm excited chittering all over this fucking CT5.
Can I ask a question? Full disclosure, Zach thought we were doing CT5 ass offs from all time.
Oh, God.
What was going to be your number one had it been? It was still Ed.
It's still Ed. Carl Weathers was two. Roscoe was three.
And like,
I might change it if we ever do all time. But yeah, Roscoe was three. Banderas was fifth.
The funniest thing about Ed here is that he's wiped Amy off the map for Zach.
Keep Amy's name out your mouth. Amy, like, it's like,
didn't even make your top five animals.
It's like people were like, you know what? Clyde Drexler's fucking good. Yeah. And then Michael Jordan came in and just dominated and ruined Clyde Drexler's career.
No one remember this.
Oh, gives a fuck about him anymore. Super athletic
Hall of Fame, yeah. Top 50, top 75.
Yeah.
Let's see Clyde Drexler, Amy draw a four-pitch walk.
Or do the backflips. That motherfucker backflipping all over the place, catching
one,
it.
One backflip.
Oh my, no.
Replayed 55 times.
No, I mean, no. How dare you? Don't you do that. Don't do that, Dad. That dude loves him some baseball.
Oh my God.
All right, Amin, what's your number one?
My number one is fucking George Siegel in Carbon Copy.
I knew that was Amin's number one. I fucking knew it from the ski mask scene.
The ski mask. That's exactly it.
I knew it. That, oh my God. I wish I'd written that down.
I'm gonna tell you, it's that. It's the flashback where he's talking to his father-in-law and the scene where his wife is talking to Denzel and he's in the background, like doing the Kathy Bates, like fucking going up the stairs, just eavesdropping on the conversation.
Yeah.
That moment, that was probably my favorite performance of the year by far.
Yeah. It's a really good one. It was tough to leave off, but I also knew that you were going to have number one. So I just cleared the runway, man.
Well, for me,
samesies.
It was tough to beat everybody else out on this list, but there's one performance that I think the movie really implodes if it's not there. And, you know, you guys have great lists.
Thank you.
But I never understood that. I betrayed the law. I'm going Armand Assoff Day, number one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like recency bias, man. He's
really fucking good, man.
I mean, it was either him or Antonio. I was like, honestly, going back in my head, that's a lot of recency bias. 18
minutes.
he's incredible.
He's so good.
He matches Stallone's like physique, like the way they both like hold themselves where they're puffing their chest out the whole time.
From the trivia, like he did all this shit to mimic Stallone. Yeah. He's pretty ass off.
Got inside Stallone's head and he said, I'm going to be this guy. And, you know, we have a couple movies, I think, where it doesn't totally make sense. Rico should have won. What are we talking about? Let the clones loose. Let the clones run Mega City. Yeah. It's overpopulated.
Fuck Mega City.
One and two.
Oh, my God.
And then Texas City, we're coming for you next.
Mm-hmm.
Aspen, you stay how you are, though.
What about Canada and the Badlands?
Badlands. We don't go to the Badlands.
All right, Zach, what was on your cutting room floor?
Della Reese.
Yeah, same
with Della Reese.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to keep off for me because I thought she stole the show in Harlem Nights, which I still can't. I and the internet cannot believe you phobed.
Man, I'm an honest podcast. What
you're
can
not.
I say?
You're not.
There's only one honest person on this call whose banner says honest podcaster, and it's the other fraud.
Yeah, the dishonest
you
one.
Think I don't, you don't think I don't think that Ed is the greatest performance?
I do think that you think that, yes.
On my cutting room floor, Jonah Hill accepted specifically the scene where he's like, yes, I want that. I want to bang girls like her. Yeah. I want to wear visors and put like too much product in my hair.
Carly Simon.
Yeah,
if I could bang one girl in the world, it's Carly Simon. You look like her.
With the zoot suit on.
And the biggest fucking grimace suit.
The feather.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I had Della Reese, too, who somehow won ass off despite three generations of comedy royalty in that movie. And then my only other one is LL Cool J's Preacher and Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Ned Beatty?
I got Ned Beatty in the toy, with a picture of himself on the desk.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
I mean, Amy, Amy's got to. Amy has to be mentioned. Amy's great, on my. But, yeah. You know, again, Ed.
Amy, on Twitter. Pretty. Amy. O-L-I.
I got Betty White and Bringing Down the House as the racist neighbor.
She was great.
God. The racist, homophobic, supercharged neighbor.
Yep.
Because Betty White, she's going against type there, you know?
Look, man, also, let's throw some respect on Kerry Washington being blind.
Oh, my God, dude. Silver Surfer. I tried to put her in the top five. I just couldn't find her.
Couldn't find room, but she is so good. So good, unless that's offensive, and then supercharge it.
Top five blind people coming soon. 2024.
When I first started doing the list, this was in the top five, but then eventually got squeezed out all the way out. Face palming statue from Simon Says.
Yeah. Oh my God. I carried that movie.
Oh my God. It literally happens right after something ridiculous happens. And then it just pans.
They do that like meeting in the courtyard or something like that.
And the statue's like, Jesus Christ. And I was that, like, same note too.
That was the most desperate ass off of the year. Second only to Snitch Frog spitting a ring out from Practical Magic.
I could not remember what that was. Like,
there's a frog that hops up on a rock and burps out a ring.
Frog in that movie?
Yeah.
But why is it a snitch?
Or maybe it's a toad.
Why is it a snitch?
Because she's trying to lie about something to Aiden Quinn, and then the frog burps up the ring.
Like, it's like the ring of the guy they killed?
Yes.
Okay. Yo,
yes. Okay. Dracula Man.
That's
yeah. Right. I can't believe this didn't make anybody's list. What? Morgan Freeman, Hard Rain.
Again, one of those ones I thought about, but just
what, Mace, what are you shrugging for? He's phenomenal.
He's fine. The movie's awful.
When he's doing the crossword puzzle and this motherfucker talking too loud.
Come on.
That was
you're out of your mind. Memorable.
Waterlogged by the script in that one.
John Turturro in You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
This is the Phantom or
yes.
Phantom.
It's when he it's the scene with Mariah Carey where he's like, you're scared. Like, I wasn't scared. You're scared.
Jennifer Garner, Invention of the Line. She's great in that movie, man.
Pretty ass off. Yeah.
She's
pretty
great in that movie.
It's the deadpan that she's got.
Yeah.
And I think, we mentioned Kathy Bates, mentioned Amy. That's going to do it for my list.
Yeah, I think that's it for my mentions as well.
If you had to say what was the
Ed
least favorite or the worst
ass off of the year?
The worst ass off of the year, probably the fucking Snitch Frog.
Snitch Frog's pretty bad. That's desperate. I think Eugene Levy as Guy Fontenot is pretty desperate.
That's pretty bad. My God.
We were grasping at straws on that one.
I can't believe we did that.
Also, Liam Neeson is High T in Men in Black International.
Cleo King is Miss Watkins in The Bye Bye Man.
That's right.
Oh, shout out to David Cross. I forgot about in Men in Black 2.
Men in Black 2.
One or two scenes, getting it done.
But kills those two scenes.
All right. Well,
I think that's
on that note.
That's the intro.
What?
It's over.
That's it?
Yeah, we did one of these in 30 minutes.
Wow.
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.